The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 425 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is free in the podcast section of iTunes, and you can follow me on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. That's my handle on Twitter. Always looking for new followers there. I'm at TheSportsRPT. A lot of topics to get to today. One of the classiest pro athletes of all time is retiring. My thoughts on Tim Duncan coming up. I'm an East Coast guy. I live about an hour from Philly, so I'm not a Spurs fan, but I have the utmost respect for Tim Duncan and that San Antonio organization. I give Carmelo Anthony credit for calling out his fellow pro athletes. We'll see what happens from here on out. The Major League Baseball All-Star Game is coming up. It's my favorite of the All-Star Games, and I think you can understand why. The Pro Bowl, well, fans there were actually booing a few years ago. And with the NBA and the NHL All-Star Games, you get no defense. The Major League Baseball All-Star Game is the closest to a real game. I still think it's a total joke that it decides home field advantage in something as important as the World Series. Call me crazy, but hey, how about using whichever team has the better record? I don't know. But I like the All-Star Game. The Home Run Derby, you can have it. No thanks. I don't need to hear back 50 bazillion times. UFC is being sold. Wait until you hear for how much. We also have soccer and tennis to get to. They are still celebrating in Portugal, and they'll probably be celebrating for a long, long time. Serena Williams tied Steffi Graf, and Andy Murray thrilled the fans in London. All of that coming up here on episode number 425 of the Sports Report. Thanks so much for tuning in. Hope all of you have a great summer. We're with you every Monday, 30 to 40 minutes, fast-paced, high-energy, opinionated sports talk without the homerism that you're used to. And we're going to start with some big, big news in the NBA. Tim Duncan is hanging up his sneaks. What a resume. 5 NBA championships, 2 MVP awards, 15 All-Star appearances. I mean, you can go on and on and on. I'll get into some of the numbers coming up. Loved his nickname, the Big Fundamental. And was that ever appropriate? I mean, this wasn't a guy who was trying to make flashy moves or trying to get on SportsCenter. This was a guy who knew how to play the game. Tremendous footwork, had that old school bank shot off the glass, patented Tim Duncan, wanted no attention. I mean, this was a superstar. He was one of the best players in the game for many, many years. Had a great run, almost 2 decades in the NBA, and really didn't want any of the attention. Just went about his business, which I respect, especially in the day and age of selfies all the time now. He turned 40 in April, 19 seasons, all of them with San Antonio. His last game was Game 6 of the Western Conference Semifinals. They lost to Oklahoma City, 113-99. In that game, Duncan had 19 points in 34 minutes. So even at 40, the guy could still get it done. Obviously, he wasn't in his prime anymore, wasn't the same player that we saw coming out of Wake Forest back in 1997. But still, when the Spurs needed him to, could get it done. I was drafted, as I mentioned, in 97. Listen to this record. 1,072 wins, 438 losses. That's what the Spurs did with Tim Duncan. That is the best 19-year stretch in NBA history. It tops the 4 major U.S. sports for the best regular season record over the past 19 years. baseball, basketball, football, hockey, doesn't matter. That's the best run over those 19 years. He was in the playoffs every single season. I mean, every season they were there. And what a team with Duncan and Popovich. They earned the most wins by a player and coach in NBA history, 1,001. The only other players in NBA history with 1,000 wins are Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and the Chief, Robert Parrish, who is part of those great Celtics teams with Larry Bird and Kevin McHale, Dennis Johnson. So that's the list, players with 1,000 wins. Duncan, Kareem, and Robert Parrish. He was a star at Wake Forest, number one overall pick, and made an immediate impact. Rookie of the Year, was All-NBA first team his rookie season. First of 10 selections onto the All-NBA first team. Led the Spurs to a championship in just his second season. Of course, they had the Twin Towers, the Admiral, David Robinson, who was part of that dream team, that Olympic squad out of Navy. And then you had Tim Duncan. And it was Duncan, the young buck in 99, who was named Finals MVP. He would go on to win four more championships, 2003, 2005, 2007, and then 2014. So his first title in 1999, he wins another 15 years later. How's that for longevity, consistency? He was named Finals MVP a total of three times, 99, 2003, 2005. For his career, 19 points, almost 11 boards, 3 assists, and over 2 blocks a game. He's 14th all-time in points, 26,496. He is number 6 in rebounds at over 15,000, and he's number 5 in blocks with more than 3,000. So he's in the top 6 in rebounds and blocks, and he's in the top 15 in points. I mean, this is a stone-cold lock Hall of Fame player. And in addition to scoring, he was all-defensive first team 8 times. Wow. Now, you may remember, if not, you can go back and listen to it. It's one of the cool things about being on the Grizz, grizzlyproductions.tv, and also in the podcast section of iTunes. You can go back and listen to all the previous shows. And I ranked my top 25 NBA players of all time. That was a lot of fun, but it was also very tough to do because I had players from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, up to current players, and Duncan made my list. Now, that was before he won his last championship. He still had 4, though, and I had him at number 16 overall. And I think that's pretty accurate. I mean, maybe a little bit higher. I don't think he's a top 10 guy. You may disagree. He does have a lot of championships. We can't argue with 5 championships. But I think most people probably have him in that 10 to 15 range, 10 to 20 range for Tim Duncan. You can tell me where you rank him on Twitter at the Sports RPT, the Sports RPT. When I think of Tim Duncan, one word comes to mind: class. He is class personified. In the dictionary, next to the word class, there should be a picture of Tim Duncan. It was all about the team. It was never about him. It was all about winning championships and never about individual awards, although, as you heard, he certainly won many. Never liked doing the press conferences, did not want to talk about himself, did not like doing interviews. He didn't want the publicity, didn't want the limelight, just wanted to play. And that is rare in this day and age. It's look at me society. You know, how quickly can I get something on YouTube that'll go viral? Or where's my next selfie coming from? That's what it's about, me. And athletes trying to create a brand out there, an image. It's not just about, you know, putting up points and rebounds and things like that. It's about the sneaker deal or, you know, getting into commercials, things like that. That wasn't Tim Duncan. He was the exact opposite. He wasn't about glitz and glamour. Just played. Had that bank shot that I talked about. Great footwork underneath. Never really a high riser. Wasn't out there for the highlight reel plays. He wasn't looking to get on the and one mixtape, as so many young kids are nowadays. Knew how to play the game the right way. Unselfish, willing to play defense, which not everybody is. Got his teammates involved. And then later in his career, you saw he wasn't afraid to take a back seat and let other guys lead the way. You certainly saw that with the emergence of Kawhi Leonard, who's now a superstar in the game and has a similar demeanor. Really like his attitude too. Just a quiet guy, goes out there, works very hard, gets the job done. I think professional sports would be a whole lot better with more athletes like Tim Duncan. And if you thought he was boring, well, sorry, I can't help you. You just don't get it. Five championships, not boring to me. Nope. So where do you rank him, Tim Duncan? What do you think about the news today that he is going to retire after 19 seasons with San Antonio? It's rare you see a guy spend his whole career with one team, but that was the case with Tim Duncan. So Kobe Bryant, gone. Tim Duncan, gone. Baseball, we already lost Derek Jeter, who just got married. David Ortiz in his final season. He's playing well. We are losing some really recognizable people and some Hall of Famers. So let me know your thoughts about Tim Duncan stepping down on Twitter at the Sports RPT, the Sports RPT on Twitter. Just getting warmed up here on episode number 425 of the Sports Report. I'll talk about Carmelo Anthony, the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, UFC. They had a big event over the weekend. Soccer, tennis, all of that coming up. But first, I want to tell you about our great sponsor. But they've been with the podcast for a long time, and we really appreciate iHome. Go to their website, take a look at all their products. That's iHomeAudio.com. iHome has a new WeatherTough line of Bluetooth speakers. They're waterproof, rust-proof, and military standard shock-proof. So they are tough. From Bluetooth and docking clock radios to portable wireless speakers, iHome combines great value and exceptional quality. iHome also offers a full line of headphones and earbuds for the fitness guru, the traveler, or just for the person who likes hanging at home and relaxing. And hey, the summer's here, so a lot of people are traveling. If you need new headphones, earbuds, go to iHomeAudio.com. You can look at all of their apps, accessories, and products. iHome is also the number one brand when it comes to digital speakers. The sound quality is the best, and their products look really cool as well. That's iHomeAudio.com. Back on episode 425 of the Sports Report, let's talk about Carmelo Anthony. In the wake of the shootings in Dallas that left five law enforcement officers dead, Carmelo took to his social media and he asked athletes to step up. I applaud him for what he did. I just wonder how many will follow his lead, or will this die down in a week, 2 weeks, a month, 2 months? Here's part of his Instagram post. Quote, "We need to steer our anger in the right direction. The system's broken, point blank, period. It has been this way forever. Our anger should be towards the system. We have to put the pressure on the people in charge in order to get this thing we call justice right. A march doesn't work. We tried that. I've tried that. A couple social media posts, tweets doesn't work. We've all tried that. Shooting 11 cops and killing five will not work," in capital letters. "While I don't have a solution, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people don't have a solution, we need to come together more than anything at this time. These politicians have to step up and fight for change. I'm calling for all my fellow athletes to step up and take charge. Go to your local officials, leaders, congressmen, assemblymen, assemblywomen, and demand change. There's no more sitting back and being afraid of tackling and addressing political issues anymore. Those days are long gone. We have to step up and take charge. We can't worry about what endorsements we're going to lose or who's going to look at us crazy. I need your voices to be heard. We can demand change. The time is now. I'm all in. Take charge. Take action. Demand change. That's Carmelo Anthony from Friday on Instagram. And you saw a key phrase in there. We can't worry about what endorsements we're going to lose or who's going to look at us crazy. And I just wonder if his fellow athletes will be on board. LeBron said that Carmelo was on point. He tweeted, more violence is not the answer. Hashtag stop the violence. Former Dallas Cowboys corner Deion Sanders tweeted, Black lives matter, white lives matter, Hispanic lives matter, Latin lives matter, Asian lives matter, all lives matter. Hashtag the truth. Primetime weighing in. Now, in addition to the five officers who died, seven officers and two civilians were injured after the ambush in downtown Dallas after a peace march to protest the fatal shootings by police officers of two black men last week. Carmelo said all the right things, but we'll see who really does get involved with this issue or how many are concerned about that next endorsement, that next shoe deal, that next contract. We'll see. He's right. The violence does need to end. I don't know. I don't understand it. I never understand it. And I just don't know how you can stop everybody all the time. I mean, there are a lot of people out there that have issues and don't get help, have access to guns. And, you know, how do you stop all these people? It's a sad state of affairs. But you just have to pray that something changes in our society, because this is going way, way, way over the top. You can sound off on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. I check it every day, multiple times a day. I'm on Twitter at the Sports RPT if you want to sound off on what Carmelo had to say. Let's get to some baseball now. The Major League Baseball All-Star Game is Tuesday night. The Home Run Derby's Monday night. As I said before, I like the All-Star Game. The Home Run Derby, no thanks. I'm not into it a little bit. I mean, you have guys out there hitting batting practice fastballs. They're professional hitters. They probably should hit a few home runs. You know, I've always told you I'm one of the few talk show hosts, I think, that watches games as opposed to just highlights. This is something, the highlights are fine with me. You know, I'll catch the real bombs. I'm going to see the 500 footers, but I'm not going to spend hour after hour. And thankfully, they've incorporated this clock now. So I guess that helps it move along. Before, it seemed like it took 13 hours for one home run derby. I mean, it was almost like a 3 or 4 part miniseries. Like the 30 for 30 on O.J. Simpson, the 5-part series. That was the Home Run Derby. It started Monday and it ended on Saturday. Stay tuned for the next edition of the Home Run Derby. We've eliminated two hitters. We still have four more to get rid of. Like it was The Bachelor or Survivor or something like that. So not into the Home Run Derby at all. As for the game, maybe we should just have the Cubs play the Red Sox. The Cubs dominated the National League roster, and the Red Sox were not far behind in the AL. Cubs are the first team since the 76 Reds, the big red machine, to have 5 players voted as starters. In fact, the entire infield is from Chicago. Anthony Rizzo at first, Ben Zobrist at second, shortstop Addison Russell, and Chris Bryant at third base. Rizzo led National League players with 3.2 million votes. Zobrist won the closest race. He finished 88 votes. That's it. 88 votes ahead of Daniel Murphy, who continues to kill his former team. I mean, he just rakes against the New York Mets. It's unbelievable. Jake Arrieta and John Lester, who have not pitched well recently. Cubs not playing well recently. They were selected to the pitching staff. So in addition to all the infielders, you get a couple pitchers there. Now, there is some new blood in here. The game's going to include 11 first-time starters. That's cool. That's the most since 2005. And 12 of the 17 elected starters are 26 or younger. So I think the future's bright. You have a lot of really good young players. In the American League, Boston has 6 all-stars, including 4 starters. DH David Ortiz, who's retiring at the end of the season, is joined by a trio of first-time selections. Xander Bogaerts at short, Jackie Bradley Jr. in the outfield, Mookie Betts in the outfield as well. The knuckleballer got on Stephen Wright. He had a great first half. And then Craig Kimbrell also was selected. I still don't think this game should decide home field advantage for the World Series. That is insanity to me. I think it's totally ridiculous. This is an exhibition game, period. I mean, if you want to make it that important, then you don't take a player from every team. If somebody doesn't deserve to go, he shouldn't be there. Doesn't matter if he's on a bad team and they need a representative. Take the best. And another thing, play the best guys for 6-7 innings if it matters that much. Play them for 8 or 9 innings if you really want to win the game, but that doesn't happen, does it? I mean, some of these guys are back in the clubhouse. They're ready to get on an airplane as the game's ending here. I mean, they are gone, out of there. See you later. So I like the All-Star game, but I just, this whole, you know, it counts thing is garbage. World Series, home field advantage should be decided by whoever's the best record. Period, end of story. Not an exhibition game where you're taking guys from bad teams just to fill out the roster, and even some of the stars are only playing a couple innings. That's ridiculous. Your thoughts, welcome on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. TheSportsRPT on Twitter. All right, we talked some baseball, a lot of hoops on today's show. This is episode 425. How about UFC? And I will admit, I'm not a big fan of UFC. I don't get the pay-per-views. I have HBO, so I'll watch boxing. I know how popular it is. I'm not going to argue with that. I was just checking out Twitter over the weekend, and man, a lot of people talk about Brock Lesnar's return, UFC 200. It was all over social media. So I'm not here to sit and tell you that it's not popular. It certainly is. And you can also tell why, because of the price tag. Do you know what UFC sold for? $4 billion. That's with a B. $4 billion. Talent agency, WMEIMG, its owner, Silver Lake Partners, Kohlberg, Kravis Roberts, no relation, and MSD Capital, which is the investment firm of Michael Dell. They are the new owners. At $4 billion, this is going to be the most expensive transaction for an organization in sports history. And you think how this thing has exploded. Back in 2000, a couple of brothers, Lorenzo and Frank Fertitta, bought the UFC for $2 million. $2 million. It's selling for $4 billion. Lorenzo said that the organization grossed about $600 million in revenues in 2015. $600 million revenues in 1 year. Wow. Dana White, who you see all the time, he's the front man. He also owns 9% of UFC. He is the president. He's going to stay on. He's still on board, and he'll be given a stake of the new business. And you have to give the guy credit. He is one heck of a promoter. Got the word out about this, and they just have expanded and expanded and expanded, and he's a big reason why. UFC makes most of its money from the pay-per-view events associated with the fights, but they also have a cable deal with Fox that ends at the end of 2018. And the new deal, they're expecting the new TV deal to be worth at least $200 million a year. Wow. Again, I'm not a big fan of this. I won't get the pay-per-views, but I'm not going to argue with its popularity, and $4 billion is $4 billion. Nice chunk of change, especially when you bought it for $2 million just 16 years ago. So UFC fans, you can talk about this story on Twitter at the Sports RPT. I'm at the Sports RPT on Twitter. All right, let's see what's up next here. We'll start with soccer, then we'll get to some tennis. Raise your hand, be honest with you, raise your hand if you thought Portugal was going to beat France in the Euro 2016 championship once Ronaldo went down with the left knee injury. I didn't think so. Talk about an upset special. Wow. France was on its home turf. Portugal had lost 10 straight matches to France. Portugal had never won a major soccer championship. Never. And then Ronaldo goes down just 7 minutes into the game. One of the best players in the world. I mean, it looked like a virtual lock that France was going to win. But no. And soccer's a funny sport like that. You know, one team can dominate play, can dominate possession, can have the better chances, and you slip up one time, and that's it. It's over. You lose. Ronaldo was taken off in a stretcher 25 minutes into the first half. A devastating blow for Portugal. Even if you're not a huge soccer fan, you know the names Ronaldo, you know the names Messi. It's pretty simple. Whichever one you think is better, that's fine. But you know those names. And then Portugal basically just sat back, packed it in, and played defense. Boring style. I don't blame them, though. I mean, France had a number of great scoring chances. Griezmann, who has been so good in this tournament, had two headers. One early on, it was around the 10th minute, and then one later in the 66th minute, but he could not seal the deal. Couldn't put it in the back of the net. Portugal's goalkeeper deserves a boatload of credit here. Patricio is his name. He was terrific between the posts for Portugal. In the 92nd minute, it looked like France finally beat him. But the shot from 6 yards out, it was a sick move. The shot hit the left post from in tight. And then we had a bad handball call that gave Portugal a free kick in the 108th minute. The handball actually was on one of Portugal's players. The officials got this one wrong, so Portugal gets the free kick, and that shot hit the crossbar. Can you imagine the controversy if that would have went in? But it hit the crossbar. 1 minute later, the 109th minute, a late substitute into the game for Portugal made the biggest play of his life. Adair ripped a low shot that bounced twice before going into the left corner from about 25 yards out. We finally had a goal in the 109th minute. Portugal won, France nothing. The fans were in shock. France had controlled play during regulation, and no doubt they looked like the better team, but that's soccer. Sometimes one shot is all you need. And that goal stood up. Party time in Portugal. Remember, Portugal finished third in its group. Third in its own group. Under the old format, they would not have even moved on. They only won one match in 90 minutes. In regulation time, they won one match in the entire tournament. Then Ronaldo's taken off. You think it's all over. Man, oh man, oh man. Crazy ending. And that's why we love sports. There's no script. You just never know. So Portugal gets its first major tournament championship. And I don't blame the coach for the style of play. You know, I heard some bobbleheads afterwards ripping them and they didn't deserve it. The better team lost. Hey, it's not like this is the first soccer team to sit back and play defense. You see it all the time. So save that stuff. Plus, they didn't win this on penalty kicks. They won it with a legit goal. If it went to penalty kicks, I could see more of an argument. This was a legitimate goal. Great shot by Adair into that lower left corner. And they won the game. So I'm not going to bash them for that. I mean, it's soccer. You see games that are 1-0 all the time. What's your take? Let me know on Twitter. Do you fault Portugal for the boring style in the championship match, or was it just good strategery, as some would say? I'm on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Let's get to tennis and Wimbledon. Serena kept saying she did not want to talk about number 22. Didn't want anything to do with it. Well, now she doesn't have to worry about any more questions about when she's going to tie Steffi Graf for the most major championships in the Open era. She ended all the speculation this weekend by beating number 4 seed Angelique Kerber 7-5-6-3 in the Wimbledon final. Kerber played very well. This was a competitive match. Kerber beat Serena in the Australian Open. Serena's serve was a big factor, as it usually is. She had 13 aces, and more importantly, she won 38 of 43 first serve points. Almost flawless with her first serve. Her serve cranks up there about 125 miles an hour. She's up to 7 Wimbledon titles. She's gone back-to-back at the All England Club. 22 major championships. Only Margaret Court has more with 24, but that was a much, much, much different era. Serena and her sister Venus then won the doubles final about 4 hours later, so not a bad day at the office. These sisters have won 14 Grand Slams together and 6 at Wimbledon. They are 14-0 in major doubles finals. They have never lost in the finals of a major. They've also won 3 Olympic gold medals in doubles action. I don't think there's much debate anymore. Serena is the greatest of all time, the GOAT, if you will, when it comes to women's tennis. I mean, she was one behind Steffi, now they're tied. She's going to be 35 in September, but she's still going strong. Kerber is 28, and Serena was still able to win that in straight sets. So I think she can break Margaret Court's record of 24. Why not? Seems like she's in the final of every tournament. As for the men's final, it was all Andy all the time. Andy Murray, he beat Milos Raonic 6-4, 7-6, 7-6. Murray ended Britain's 77-year drought for a Wimbledon champ back in 2013. This time around, clearly not as dramatic as that final. It is the third slam overall for Murray. He's been in 11 finals, but kept running into those guys by the name of Djokovic and Federer. Perhaps you've heard of them, two of the legends of the game. Raonic is the first Canadian man to get to a major final. He's got a monster serve. We're talking around 150 miles an hour, but Murray is an excellent returner, and he held him to 8 aces. In an interesting twist here, John McEnroe is one of the coaches for Raonic. And, you know, he's also an announcer, too. So he was calling the action. He still kept those duties as an announcer. And I thought he handled himself very well. Did a good job. You know, awkward spot, but he was professional with it. No cheering in the press box. And he did not scream at the chair umpire either at any calls that went against his player. I'm a big fan of John McEnroe. He's objective. He's honest. He tells it like it is. And in this day and age of homerism, a lot of announcers out there that aren't willing to do that. So I'm a McEnroe fan, and I thought he did a good job there in the booth at Wimbledon. You can weigh in on all of these topics. Definitely want your feedback about it. Tim Duncan, where do you rank him all time? He's got to be top 20 for sure. I don't know that I would go top 10. You know, that's a tough list. I mean, you got Michael and Magic and Larry and the centers in there like Chamberlain and Russell and Kareem, the Big O, Jerry West. A lot of great players in the mix there. So I don't know that he's top 10, but definitely top 20 in my book. You can rank him on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. What do you think about the Home Run Derby, the All-Star Game? Let me know your thoughts on that as well. On Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Have a great week, everybody. I'll talk to you again next Monday right here on GrizzlyProductions.tv and iTunes.